Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Black Belt Selling Radio. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a Black Belt Selling team from South Central Texas, bringing you the sales system that will help you grow your business, get more sales, and realize your dreams for going into business. Today, we're going to talk about how to make sure money in social media versus fast money. You know, there's a lot of social media platforms out there, Stephanie, that are available to us now, and we don't even have to just sit at a computer anymore. You can get the apps on your phone and broadcast live. And this topic was actually inspired by a live broadcast that I saw on how to monetize your social media. And so I think it's a really important topic right now because there's so many people getting involved in social media, especially in live broadcasting. And but why don't we take just a minute first to talk about the impact of social media on business today. You know, just take a few minutes to share your thoughts on that, Stephanie.
Yeah, you know, it's actually really funny that, you know, for those of you who don't know, we don't work on these together as much as we probably could or should to pull these whole shows together. There's a lot of one-sided work sent over for approval, one-sided work. So, because we're not in the same area. It's not like we can sit down every Friday and brainstorm and pull together the show in person together. So it's interesting to me that you brought this up because it wasn't yesterday. I think it was Wednesday. I sat down, and I took a couple of minutes, and I looked up the Forbes top 40 under 40. These are the richest people, according to Forbes, under 40 years old. And I'm going through, and on this list, it is telling us, or it's telling me, who they are, how much their net worth is, and then it told where they got their money. Where their money came from, a startup, the name of the startup, what. First of all, the number one guy on the list was Mark Zuckerberg, with $31 billion, almost $32 billion net worth. And, of course, everyone knows Zuckerberg made his money through Facebook. Well, okay, cool, totally fine. Kept going through the list. Every other person on that list made their money through social media. We're talking people who are worth billions and billions, and Pinterest came up multiple times. Facebook came up multiple times. Snapchat came up multiple times. Etsy, Twitter. I mean, it was just unbelievable to me. I had not expected to see that many social media entrepreneurs on the top 40 under 40. And I think that is just a perfect representation. You know, Mom, you didn't know that I did this. You didn't know that I found that information out. But you asked me to share about how social media has impacted business, and I think that's a perfect example in that all of these people have not just become extremely wealthy off social media, but let's be honest, who is paying them that kind of money? The business owners who are marketing through them. The business owners who are marketing through them. And the business owners who are marketing through these social media providers have created more than half of our top 40 under 40. So if you want to know how important businesses or social media is on business today, just think about that one, that it has created a boatload of billionaires just off social media. So now that, of course, we're all going, wow, okay, anyone who didn't believe in it before is now, of course, totally on board with us, right? So, Mom, why don't you talk with us a little bit about the number one mistake most people make while trying to social media market?
Well, the number one mistake, you know, before I get into that, though, I need to talk a little bit about the fact that people out there have natural sales resistance. Okay, so we have that because everybody knows that if you find it on the Internet, it may or may not be true. There's a lot of scammers out there. There are a lot of people just trying to get into your pocketbook and not provide value. So we want to get out there. And you know, social media actually can be a very inexpensive, and it is, it's a very inexpensive way to get your message out there. But we live with the incorrect idea that we have to promote. And that's the number one mistake I see. And this is the number one mistake that I'm hearing from all of the gurus that are out there teaching people how to market on social media. And it's this, that you're promoting yourself over and over and over, kind of like you're advertising. And social media is a platform, it's a medium where you want to build relationships. I was doing a Periscope yesterday, and for those of you that may or may not know, I'm an avid Periscoper. I probably scope, sometimes I've scoped up to 4 or 5 times a day. And I pay attention to the movers and shakers on Periscope. And on one of my broadcasts yesterday, I was actually talking about this very topic. And people, if you're not familiar with Periscope, people can talk to you through chat on the Periscope. And as I was talking about this very topic, about people promoting themselves, one of the persons in the chat said, you know, it's really annoying when you get on somebody's scope and all they're telling you about what they do, what they do, what they do, what they do. And the thing was, is there were other people in the chat who were saying the same thing. You know, she wasn't the only one. It was her voice that resonated. You know, so, and the problem we run into is we're so intent on getting the sale that we're afraid if we don't tell people what we do, they're not going to know what we do, and therefore we're not going to make the sale. And so the focus then becomes centered on us. And that's where I think, and I know that a lot of people make the mistake. And Stephanie, I have to confess, I've been one of those people. I've been one of those people that overpromote.
You know, I think we all have. Let's be honest. What's your favorite topic? Me. Everyone's favorite topic. Because, and you know, it's not necessarily a conceited thing, but think about who you spend the most time with. Yourself. You know yourself better than anyone else. And you, it just is natural that if you spend the most time with yourself, the easiest thing in the world is to talk about yourself. And so it's not a bad thing. It's just human nature. And so I think everyone at some point has fallen victim to self-promotion.
Oh, I'm sure of it. We all have. And I think... And I think it's something to be aware of. And hopefully the people on this broadcast will see and get some really valuable information to look at what they're doing in social media so they can become more effective. Again, we're after the sure money, not the fast money. We're after repeat business. We're after referrals. And what we're going to be sharing with you on the show today is going to help you get that. So the proper focus of your message needs to not be on yourself. Rather, it needs to be on your client. So, Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about that. How do we get the proper focus of our message? What is the proper focus of our message?
Well, the proper focus of your message, really, you know, ultimately the end goal is to solve a problem for your client. I was always told, you know, if you can solve a problem for somebody, do it. And then, you know, solve a little one. Here's the thing. Problems are available in vast supply. You don't have to pay to get a problem. They just kind of show up, kind of how life works.
Yeah.
So, you know what, if I can solve a problem for you today, next time you have a problem, you'll remember I solved it for you. You'll come back, and now I can say, okay, I'd absolutely love to help you out again. This is the kind of rate we're going to be looking at for me to solve you. Now they've built, so this is not about how can I get them to hire me. This is about how can I solve your problem. So there's a great line, show me, don't tell me. So stop telling your clients what you can do for them. Start showing them how you're fixing it. Ask for suggestions. Ask for feedback. Ask for ideas. What are you guys struggling with? What's a problem you have? I'd love to help you solve it. excuse me, what is the number one thing that's held you back this year? And do you have a strategy in place to overcome it next year? Can I help you put a strategy in place to overcome it next year at absolutely no cost? So focus on what it is they need, creating solutions. Sometimes you post really good, valuable content for free because you're providing a solution to your potential client. And, you know, the next one that I really focus on is what does your client need? Your client. Not everyone. It took me a while to get this through my head. I kept telling everyone this, but it took me a while to get it into my head. But not everyone is your client. Not everyone's your client. So what do your clients need? Well, the answer is really simple. Your clients are the ones who need what you have to offer. So you have to look at what their needs are and show them, don't tell them, show them how your product, program, service solves that need. Mom, why don't you talk about the next step, or how what is the next step once you've started to solve their problems?
Well, you want to get your client to the next step, which is going to require that you map out how you're going to move your client along in the process of sales. Because if you're going to focus on providing value in your marketing, obviously you can put out value all day long, but you need to lead your prospect in a series of decisions to where they'll ultimately buy from you. So when we think of closing, everybody's thinking of, well, I got to get the money, which can lead to a wrong focus. Instead, what you want to think about doing is, what is the next step to continue the conversation with your client, especially when you're doing value-driven messages? Now, I'm not saying we're going to talk after, on the second half of our show, we're going to talk about the proper, the rule of thumb for value-driven messages for promotion, because promotion's not a bad thing. It just has to be done in the right ratio, so to speak. But when you're putting out value, you want to give your audience a way to stay connected. So maybe it's joining a Facebook group. Maybe it's getting a free report. Maybe it's signing up for your newsletter. Some kind of action they can take that so that you can lead them to the next action. You see, you're actually still closing. You're just closing them on the next step to be able to provide more value for them to position yourself as an expert. This is really, really critical, and it's something that I have in the past not been very strong in, but I'm learning how to do this. But it requires forethought. You can't just sit down one day and go, well, I'm just going to start a business, and everybody's going to come flocking to me, although that is the way a lot of it started. What you want to do is you want to think about, how am I going to lead my prospect? And I loved the thought that you had there, Stephanie, going back a minute. I loved your thought about not everybody's your client. You got to be very specific what you're offering and who your ideal client is, and target your marketing message that way, providing value, but also asking people to take action on what you're saying. It doesn't mean you're going to get money right away. What it is going to mean is you're going to develop a way for them to stay in touch, for you to stay in touch with them, and develop the relationship because, and this, oh, Stephanie, this comes across all the time. Mm-hmm. It's people buy from people they like and trust. You have to build trust. And so when you're asking them to take steps, you want to ask them to take small steps, but close them on the next step and have a plan for how you're going to move them into a position to buy, to make a decision to buy from you, because you've been providing all kinds of phenomenal, phenomenal value. It makes a lot of sense, but it's hard to do because we believe that sales is all about getting the money. And it is. It's just you got to go to get the money through the avenue of relationship building and trust building. It's the whole idea of building trust and rapport.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. Well, sales is about making money, and you know there is no job in the world that pays as well as a really good salesman. That's not what it's all about. It's all about taking care of your client, taking care of your prospect. We're at the halfway minute mark, or we're at the halfway mark of the show. So, Mom, why don't we take a quick break here and tell them about our upcoming offer. We have an amazing. We've been working really hard on some of the stuff for you guys. We want to deliver the stuff that we know y'all are going to be interested in. So, Mom, why don't you take a second and give them a little bit of a hint of what's coming up for us?
Well, first of all, Stephanie and I are both working on some phenomenal books, and we are very excited that we'll be putting these books out here probably within the next month. Do you want to stay tuned for that? But in the meantime, we have compiled the top 5 interviews from our first year of broadcasting. That includes interviews with Eric Lofholm, Master Sales Trainer, Ben Gay III, who is a sales legend, Christopher Robbins out of Ontario, Canada, and internet marketer Kunle Olamos. This is the guy that taught us how to do internet marketing for pennies on the dollar. I mean, he was phenomenal, and he is still being recognized in Nigeria. Well, anyway, you right now, this is these are our top 5 interviews on one CD, and we're selling them right now for $10 with shipping and handling. Now, I want to let you guys know that we are getting ready to put together a bigger product, and so these same interviews are not going to stay at this price point for long. So if you're interested in hearing from Eric Lofholm, Ben Gay III, Christopher Robbins, and Kunle Olamofe, then you need to contact us to get a copy of that CD now because the price is getting ready to go up. And so email me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we are definitely making it a more robust package. It will include more interviews. It will include more pieces. But it is going to be a more expensive. You know, there's obviously more content, more work. It's going to be a little more expensive piece. So once we have this first run of these CDs that we created, once they're sold, they're gone. So reach out to us quickly. $10 plus shipping and handling is really quite inexpensive. We can get them out to you very, very quickly.
Exactly. And we've probably got about 20 left, so you want to jump on there soon because they're going to go very, very fast. So email me at annajoscheller@gmail.com, or you can email Stephanie at stephanie.scheller2000@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to process your order. So just let us know, and we'll be in contact with you to get you a copy of that CD. All right, we want to now welcome you back. And let's move on with our discussion of making sure money through social media. Stephanie, you know, things have changed a lot from when you said, Mom, I can't believe you're not keeping up your Facebook page. And you remember that conversation?
Which one? I think we had like 4 that went something like that.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, I don't remember all 4 of them. But what is a good rule of thumb? So we've been talking a lot about value-driven messages. What is a good rule of thumb for having your value-driven messages versus your promotional messages?
Well, you know, I heard a really good one this morning. And, you know, we've got a lot of 80-20 rules out there. But that was basically what he said. He said for every, you know, 80% of your content needs to be educational, personal, joke, something, you know, just don't ask anything from them. 20% can be promotional. Promote a product, promote a service, have a call to action. But use about an 80-20 rule. It's a pretty good ratio on social media, live broadcast. It doesn't really matter where you go. It's a good rule for pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, it's a great rule for all your marketing because I'm a sincere believer in educational marketing, and I believe it really changes the conversation. When you are educating someone with your marketing, you are coming across them in a completely different way. You're not coming to them as that pushy, manipulative, rude salesman. you're coming to them as a leader, as a thought leader, as someone who's moving and shaking and changing the industry. So I always try and recommend an 80-20 rule. You know, basically means for every 5 posts you make, one of them can be self-promotional.
Yeah, and you know, too, and how many posts you put out is also going to depend on the platform that you're using. So, for example, on Facebook, even though Facebook is moving a lot faster than it used to, you want to not be as active on Facebook, I would say, if you're doing, you know, marketing, as you want to be on Twitter. Because I'm just going to pull up my Twitter feed right now, and I just kind of want to watch what happens with my Twitter feed, and just watch how many messages, how many tweets come up in the space of a minute. So we'll continue talking, and then I'll share that. But anywhere from 6 to 20 or even 100 tweets comes through. Right now, just as I was talking, I got another tweet. And before long, I'm probably going to have 50 to 100 tweets just on my feed. So if you're going to stay relevant, especially if you're looking to promote on Twitter and you're looking to market on Twitter, you have to have at least 10 posts going out a day. And the whole idea of making some marketing and some personal, that fits here too, because people want to know about you as a person. When I go through a person's Twitter feed and all I see is promo or links out to blogs or something like that, you know, I'm thinking, I'm not interested in that as much as knowing a little bit about you, or can you put a little saying in there that's inspirational? I mean, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, every platform, you have to gauge it. Twitter, you're going to want to put out more posts than, let's say, Facebook. LinkedIn is a whole other animal, and we'll have to bring on a LinkedIn expert here next year, because there's so much on LinkedIn that I still need to learn about. But,
well, you know, we've talked about this a lot pretty regularly. You know, whenever you're social media marketing, you need to adjust your target, your audience, your message to the venue, to the platform. Twitter severely limits you. 140 characters is not a lot of time, not a lot of effort. Facebook doesn't have those limits. In fact, sometimes taking time to write out a big, long post, as long as it's well-written, it's got white space, it's got everything going for it, sometimes those get a lot of traction because people will actually stop and take time to read that on Facebook. They won't do that on Twitter. Pinterest is another one. You don't want to sit there and, you know, put a whole big, long description. You'd rather put that information into the picture itself. Instagram, another great one. You do not use a big, long description on Instagram. So whatever method you're using, it's extremely important to tailor it to the platform. It doesn't matter what kind of post you make. And again, just like you pointed out, you're not going to post nearly as many times a day as you would on Facebook as you would on Twitter. You know, you probably won't even post as many times a day on Facebook as you would on Periscope, because Periscope's connected to, ta-da, Twitter. So, you know,
right.
You have to customize it. It's not something where you can just throw it out and just, you know, just do whatever.
No, and see, the other part of that too, Stephanie, is we have to realize too that you can't suddenly wake up one morning and go, oh my gosh, I have forgotten to post on Facebook, so I'm going to put 10 posts out today, and then nobody hears from you for 2 weeks. You need to be consistent, and we strive to kind of really drive that into people, because it's so important to realize that people will forget about you unless you're out there on a regular basis putting out content, putting out valuable content. And I didn't have this in the script, but I'm gonna challenge our listeners. I'm taking a challenge. I was challenged by Rick Cooper, who's been a regular guest on our show. He's, you know, a lot of people think, well, what do I talk about? You know, what do I say? Well, start a spreadsheet of 101 ideas that you could talk about. And then you can take one and you can turn it into a tweet. And then you can turn that same one into a blog post. And you can turn that same one into a video. And you can turn that same one into a broadcast on Periscope, Blabber, or Meerkat. I mean, the possibilities are absolutely endless. And if you commit to doing this over, let's say, 90 days, so that's essentially one or two ideas every day for 90 days, you can come up with 101 different ideas that you can talk about and you can share with your audience. And that way, because I think what holds people back, inconsistency, is they think, well, I don't know what to talk about. So I take my hat off to Rick Cooper on that one. I'm real excited because I've started it now myself.
And, you know, I know I'm looking at the time here, and we're running out of time pretty quickly, and I want to get to how to find your customer's pain point, because we talked about that earlier. And, you know, I think it is really, really important to be able, if you can't find what your customer is having problems with, you can't solve it for them, right? So it's really important to be able to find your customer's pain point so that you can solve it for them, so you can build value so that they'll buy from you. So, Mom, what's the number one technique you would suggest using to find out what is your customer's pain point?
I recommend that you get on other people's blogs and their social media posts and see what is getting the most attention that's in your industry. And then, you know, start to develop, you know, take your own ideas off there. And that's really a good way to know what people are interested in. The reason I knew that this was a hot topic today was because I heard it on somebody else's social media post, and this got a lot of traction in his post. So I knew this was a good topic to bring up today. So I think, boy, time just flies, doesn't it, Stephanie?
It really does. So, you know, one of the techniques I particularly like to do to find out what my customer's pain point is to send out surveys. You know, you'd be amazed. You craft a survey well, which I'll give you, you know, real quickly, a couple of hints. No more than 5 questions. 3 is preferable. People can handle about 3 questions before they give up on you. Keep them short and give them ideas on what to answer. So if you ask them, what's your favorite thing about my Facebook page, give them a sampling of, you know, do you prefer the funny posts, motivational posts? Do you prefer the success reminders? Do you prefer the daily dose? Do you prefer this? Do you prefer that? So give them ideas of what they can click on so that they don't have to try and come up with it themselves. Because people, you know, we all live through it. You blank, spur of the moment, you blank out. Oh, my gosh, what was I going to say? I don't know why I like this person's page. I just do. So make sure your surveys are well-crafted.
Yeah.
They give out answers for people to pick from. Short, sweet, but send them out. Get feedback. Find out what your customers care about. And then I think that's pretty much it, Mom.
It is. I wanted to do a really quick wrap. I was taking notes. So first of all, keep in mind that social media is a definite phenomenon. It is the way many people have made their money, and it's a way for you to tap into sure money. Don't make the mistake of focusing on yourself, but put the proper focus of your message on your client. The rule of thumb is 80-20 in terms of promo versus educationally driven marketing. And you can find your customer's pain through social media and blogs. Now, next week, we are going to be interviewing James Winsor. He's an internet marketer and the author of Periscope Marketing Mastery. Every day, he shares marketing tips and tricks for small and home-based businesses. And he's been in internet marketing for over 16 years. So you want to make sure to join us next week when we're interviewing James Winsor. And he does have an accent. He is from Robin Hood's neck of the woods, Nottinghamshire.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening with us. You know, we love doing this show for y'all every single week. We love hearing your feedback. Don't forget to join us in our Facebook group. Go to bit.ly/BB, that's B as in black, B as in belt, selling group. Join the group. We post great content. We post reminders about the show in there every week. We look forward to seeing you guys next week on Black Belt Selling to learn about Periscope Marketing Mastery. Until then, you guys have an amazing week. Have a great time. Make it a valuable week, and we look forward to talking with you guys again soon. I'm Stephanie. Here for Anna. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Make it an awesome week, guys.